good morning. If you would stand to your feet this morning. What a good day it is to praise the Lord. Amen?
Thank you.
praise to the one true King who is faithful, who is faithful, who is faithful. We serve a great and mighty God. Yes, we do. Hallelujah! 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 Yes, Lord! Hallelujah! Death defeated on the cross. You took the pain in place for us. you and we can't stop singing. You're great and you do miracles. So we dance, sweet dance, sweet dance in victory. We praise you because the chains are gone. We praise you.
Can't stop singing.
You're great.
You're great and you do miracles.
So we dance, sweet dance, sweet dance in victory. We dance, sweet dance in victory. We dance, sweet dance in victory.
I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Thank you.
I would say unto thee, does my word not say that I am the light of the world? And where there is light, darkness cannot hide. And if you abide in me and I in you, my light within you penetrates the very darkness around you, saith the Lord. And I would say unto thee this morning that as you gather with those around you, as you gather with family, as you gather with friends, I say unto thee not to look at them with casting judgment, saith the Lord. But I would say unto thee this morning to look at those around you through my eyes of grace and through my eyes of mercy and through my eyes of love, for nothing has separated them from my love, saith the Lord. And I would say unto thee this morning to look for opportunities to allow my light to shine through you. For this is a season, saith the Lord, that everything that has been hidden in the dark, I am bringing to the light, saith the Lord. And I would say unto thee that as I have said, you are the seed of Abraham. Everything that belonged to Abraham belongs to you. And I would say that even in this season, that I am bringing household salvation and restoration and reconciliation to your families, to your children, to your children's children, and blessings upon blessings upon blessings, saith the Lord. And I say unto thee to be mindful as doors are opening in this season, to be mindful to share my light with those around you and look upon them through my eyes of grace.
Amen.
Come fill us, Lord. I know you will.
You were good on your promise, sent your son to our darkness. Savior of the souls, he will light the way. Jesus, you are worth the wait. Hear the host singing glory. See the stars, this is holy. Creator of the world in a manger lay. Oh, Jesus, you are worth the wait. He will heal all the broken. Take back what the enemy has stolen. With fire in his eyes and freedom in his name. Oh, Jesus, you are worth the wait. He will die so we don't have to, and then arise to make our way through. Forgiven by his love and covered in his grace. Oh, Jesus, you are worth the wait. And every heart come and adore him. And every knee bow before him. The king of every king, forever you will reign. Oh, Jesus, you are worth the wait.
Holidays, if this is your time. You may see some people walking around with our prayer request cards. We want to invite you to something that is so near and dear to the church's heart, and that is 21 days of prayer. And I know someone says, 21 days? Yeah, 21 days. Important that we consecrate the first part of our year that we give to the Lord, and we're asking you to join with us in that 21 days. This starts on January 4th on our Sunday service, and we're going to actually practice prayer right after our service, so you don't have to come back at 6 o'clock. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday of the whole next week, you get to come here at 6 o'clock and join the body of believers where we're going to pray and consecrate our life to Christ at the beginning of the year. And all I can say is this is a way that we, as the people of God, get to align ourselves with God. I don't want to be over here if he's here. I want to be right with him. Amen. In every step of my life. So please join us. Carve this special time out for your life. And trust me, it will cost you something. It will cost you your time, your energy, effort, but it's worth it because he's worth the wait. Amen. All right. So this is also a time where we do our offering, and we have a focus scripture of the month. And it's found in Acts, the 20th chapter, the 35th verse. And I'm going to read it. It says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, this is Paul actually remembering Jesus speaking way back in Luke, and he's talking about this extreme generosity, but not just generosity in money. He was talking about generosity with mercy and forgiveness. I think it's odd that we have that word come forth today, and this is the scripture verse that we're talking about, that we got to be careful how we judge others and that we give mercy. But this is the scripture he was referring to, Luke 6:38. It says, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, and running over and poured into your lap." What? That, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. You know, the other day I was just walking around the house and I was thinking of all the presents that you got to do and wrap and get them in a bag and get the cards with them and all this work. And I heard the Lord say something I had forgotten. And I said, "Oh, you want us to give that money?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Oh, I'll do that." And he said, "I want you to up it." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And then I got thinking about it. Well, that might make things a little tight. Immediately, as soon as God told me what to do, the enemy came to steal that word and go, no, you can't do that. That might make things tight. You might not have enough. No. And you know what I'm telling you? Every time the enemy does that, you need to draw a line and go, "Watch this. I'm going to give more." I'm not listening to what the enemy tells me. And it's not just about your money. It's about mercy. It's about your forgiveness. When someone's done you wrong, and I'm going to be real, you got a right to not forgive in the world's eyes. But in God's eyes, he says, "Step over the line and give them forgiveness, because when you didn't deserve it, I gave it to you. When you made the mistake over and over and over, I gave generously to you." I'm encouraging you, church. This is not a time in our money, in our mercy, and in our forgiveness that we hold back. Paul told us, it is better to give than it is to receive. Father, we just come before you today in this holiday season, and Father, you're challenging our hearts, God, to give in a way we've never gave before. Father, whether that be of our treasure or our mercy or our forgiveness, Father, keep it in the forefront of our minds through the season, that we would love others the way that you did. And Father, that God so loved the world that he gave. Therefore, we as your children are definite givers, and we're extreme ones at that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offering.
Hello, church family. Welcome to Church News and Merry Almost Christmas. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you have joined us today. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
There will be no service on Wednesday, December 31st for New Year's Eve. We hope you enjoy the night celebrating New Year's with your friends and family, and we can't wait to see you on January 4th for our next service to kick off the new year.
Hey everyone, Pastors Randy and Nicole here, and we want to personally invite you to our Christmas Eve candlelight service.
Christmas is a time for family and friends. It's a joyous time. It's a time of reflection and remembrance. So come on out, because we want to celebrate with you and remember that Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen. Now our service times will be 4 p.m. or 6 p.m. So bring your friends, your family. If you don't have family, we will be your family. That's December the 24th. We hope to see you then, and Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Baptism is a powerful next step for anyone who has given their life to Jesus. It is a public declaration that your old life is gone and you're living new in Christ. It's through baptism that we share in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you have decided to follow Jesus but have not been baptized, now's the time. Scan the QR code on the screen to sign up, and we can't wait to take this next step with you.
It's almost time for 21 Days of Prayer. From January 4th through January 24th, we will be setting aside time to deepen our relationships with Christ and to start our new year centered on Him. We will be meeting in the sanctuary on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and on Saturday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. On Wednesdays and Sundays, prayer will be during the service. Let's make prayer our first response, not our last resort this year. And we cannot wait to have you join us for 21 Days of Prayer this year.
An invite card could change someone's eternity. Here at Only Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and set them out in the lobby. And they're an easy way to invite someone to come to church who might need hope, community, or a fresh start. So be praying about who God would lead you to invite to our next service.
And as always, for any more information on anything and everything we have going on here at Only Believe, you can head on out to the Welcome Center and they will answer all of your questions. Now, let's lean in and prepare our hearts and minds as we dive into God's Word today.
In the beginning, darkness reigned over the abyss, yet God's Spirit hovered above the waters, ready to work wonders. With a single command, God transformed the void into something extraordinary. Suddenly God said, "Let there be light." And as if by magic, light was born. God saw that the light was good and separated it from the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night. Evening came and morning followed. This was the first day. Thus, the first day came to an end.
No, I'm not on. Let's see if I'm on. Hold on. Okay, no problem. All right, you can hear me, can't you? Yeah. Yeah, all right. That's right. I don't need no microphone. That's what they told me in school as well. Instead, I got detentions. So we are continuing our series about the light. And if you notice in that video this morning that we just said, God created the light first. First, He created the light. And the thing is this, darkness is simply the absence of light. That's all darkness is. It's simply the absence of light. It is not an entity by itself. You want to give me a microphone? All right. There we go. All right. Okay. Hey, there we go. All right, there, that's a little better. All right, very good. So, again, darkness is not an entity by itself. Darkness has absolutely no power. None. Zero. And you'll notice that we were created after the light. We were not created before the light. We were not the first thing to be created. But after the light, we were created. And that is this, and this is the reason why. We are supposed to be in the light. We are never supposed to be in darkness. Ever. We are not supposed to adapt to any type of darkness. Ever. We are supposed to be in the light. As a matter of fact, if you know, I don't know if you guys have been to way up north in Alaska, if you guys have visited up there at all. But those people that live way up north where it's dark a lot of the months out of the year, they get this condition called SAD. It's called S-A-D, and it's true. It's not a joke. It's true. It's called seasonal affective disorder. And it's because they're in the dark. They don't care about things. They lose interest in what they're doing because of the darkness. Obviously, with the depression, they also,
it says lose track of time because being in the dark way too long. It's not natural for us. I mean, look at us. You know, still we're still doing this time thing. Spring forward, fall backwards. You know, I do not like the fall back part. I hate it. I hate it because, hello, it gets dark at 5 o'clock. And then, you know, we think it's 9:30 and it's only 6:30. We want to go to bed, you know, at 6:30 at night, you know. And my wife is happy with that. She'd be glad to go to bed at 6:30 at night. But it's just horrible dealing with darkness like that. And we are not supposed to be in darkness at any type, at any kind, any way, shape, or form. We are to be in the light. And so that's what we're talking about today. And I want to turn to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah uses darkness and deep darkness in a lot of the scripture verses and a lot of the chapters in Isaiah. And he's not talking about physical darkness. He's talking about spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness. When he uses darkness, he's saying that people are not getting any guidance from God. No guidance from God. They're in spiritual darkness. There's fear, there's oppression, there's hopelessness, and they're not aware of God's truth. That's living in darkness. But when he talks about deep darkness, he is describing people who are not only confused, but they are also trapped. They're trapped. They're blind. They have long-term spiritual blindness. This is going on for a long time. You know people like that in your life. These people feel their hopelessness is so great that there's no escape, that they can't get out. They have no guidance from God, and they're pretty sure that there's no way to get back to God. Man, that's deep darkness. Deep darkness. So to give you a visual, how many of you guys have ever gotten lost at the dark in the night? You know, you've gotten lost at night. Yeah, okay. That's just darkness. Because there's some light. You just got lost. But deep darkness is being maybe in a cave. Deep in that cave where you can't see anything. That's deep darkness. And a story came to my mind a couple of years ago when we were on vacation. We just got done playing some water volleyball. I think our team won again, as usual. But we were just hanging out. And there was a couple old guys in the pool. And I always like go to the old guys because they got lots of good stories. And I went by this one old guy. And he had, of course, a gold chain around his neck. And he had this solid gold scuba dube on his chain there. And I said, hey, you like the scuba dive? And he said, oh, I used to scuba dive all the time, but I'm too old now. I can't do it anymore. I said, really? I said, well, I know you got some cool stories. And he said, oh, yeah. I said, well, tell me a couple stories. And so he told us some really neat stories. But then one story, he said, I was scuba diving, and I went at least 100 feet underneath the ocean. That's crazy. 100 feet under the ocean, scuba diving. He said, I found a cave. And he said, I went into that cave. And he said, I went into that cave so far in that there was no light. I couldn't see anything. He said, so I turned off all my lights. And he said, I couldn't even see my hand as it was hitting my mask. And I said, no way. And he said, no, I did something else just for the fun of it. I said, what did you do? He said, I turned off my air as well. And I'm like, what in the world is wrong with this turkey? And he said, I just wanted to hear nothing and just to hear what it would hear like 100 feet under the water in complete darkness. I just wanted to hear what was there. And he said it was just pure peace. Nothing. And I was like, wow, that is deep darkness. Deep darkness. I can't imagine the people that are in that type of deep darkness, how they feel. Why they even want to be alive. But I think it also takes a very strong mind to do what that dude did. I mean, my Lord, 100 feet in a dark cave and he turns everything off like that. I was like, wow, I was mesmerized by his stories. It was amazing. But that's deep darkness. And so let's dive into Isaiah and hear what he's talking about today in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. chapter 5, verse 20. It says here, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." Isaiah is talking to the children of Israel here, and these people were in moral darkness, moral darkness. And they got here by rejecting God's standards. They justified their sin, and they trusted themselves and not God. And they chose lies over truth. That's how they got in that spiritual darkness. Isaiah chapter 8, move on down, verse 19. We'll go to 22 on this one. It says, "And when they say to you, 'Seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter,' should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They will pass through it hard pressed and hungry. And it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish. They will be driven into darkness." Again, Isaiah here is talking about people seeking guidance from mediums, spirits, political alliances instead of God. They refuse God's word. They looked elsewhere, everywhere but God. They looked for their answers. And fear drove all of their decisions. How many want to live like that? But people are living like that every day. Every single day. Now, we turn to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and we go to verse 2. And it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." Ooh, hallelujah. "Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death," again, also called deep darkness there, "upon them a light has shined. So the people of Zebulun and Naphtali were in deep darkness, and so were the people in the regions who were invaded by Assyria." Again, these people were also politically oppressed, spiritually neglected, and socially despised. Boy, the Jews were always despised. They got there again by rebelling against God as a nation. So God lifted his hand, as he'd done all through the Old Testament as we read it. "And foreigners came and invaded, and now the children of Israel do not know who they are once again." This happened all the time to the children of Israel. You guys see a pattern? See a pattern that's going on here? What is causing darkness and deep darkness in these people all the time? Darkness comes because the number one thing they continued to do was reject God. Reject God. They refused God's word. They rejected his standards. And they reject his ways. And so darkness and deep darkness came upon them. What does it look like today in the world? I mean, we can't go anywhere and not see a video of people in darkness and deep darkness. We get people that are out there that the light is shining through them. Jesus is shining through them, and they're getting spit on. I mean, their equipment is getting busted. You can't touch that. Man, they take it. They break it all up. All they're trying to do is preach the light in the darkness. And these people come unglued, cursing God, cursing them, rejecting God, rejecting his ways, believing the lies that they're right and you're wrong. Darkness and deep darkness is everywhere we turn today. Everywhere we turn today. And the only reason that the children of Israel got out of it is because God himself intervened. Listen, we all think that God is sometimes a bad God, but he is a God of mercy and grace. Really, God didn't have to help in any situation and get these people out of anything they got themselves into. He didn't have to do it. But yet he did, because he made two different covenants. He made a Mosaic covenant and an Abrahamic covenant. He promised Abraham, and he promised Moses, and God never goes back on his word. He is a God, when he says something, he's going to do it no matter if they deserved it or not. And they didn't deserve any help. They knew what they were getting themselves into. But he intervened anyway. And he sends a ruler named Hezekiah who finally brings justice and peace to Israel. And then in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verse 6, hallelujah, we see the very first birth announcement of Jesus. Praise God. But don't worry, you're going to have plenty of time for the baby shower because Jesus doesn't come for 700 more years. 700 more years. That's going to be one amazing baby shower. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. What an announcement that must have been back then. Hezekiah wasn't the final answer, but he was a temporary answer. Jesus was the final answer. Hezekiah still, he was a man. He still sinned. He still did things that weren't right. But at least he did something, and he was a temporary light in the darkness back then. And so Jesus came into the world. And when he came into the world, in John 8:12, he says that I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Hallelujah. So you follow Jesus and you will have clarity. You won't live in confusion, deception, or have moral blindness any longer. In other words, you will not be in darkness anymore. For those of you who used to be sinners, some of you were, I mean, sin is sin, I get it, but some of you were in worse sin than others. I mean, Nicole, I think all she did was lie. That was the deepest, darkest sin she ever did. You know? Now, I never smoked, I never chewed, I never drank a single bit of beer. I never done any of that stuff. So, you know, but I stole, you know, so I did a little more than Nicole, but I was still in darkness, but, you know, it was a little worse than her, but that's it. But those of you who were like in, we're all in darkness when we don't know Jesus, but you was like really sinned. When you came into the light, man, all of a sudden just something clicked. Yeah, the light came on. He was like, wow, I was in such spiritual darkness. And then you got to see who you once were, and it really kind of made you sick, didn't it? You wanted to throw up because, man, I can't believe I was that person. And, of course, that's where the devil comes in and tries to bring condemnation. You know, and, of course, he's a liar and the father of lies, right? Because, hello, when you give your life to Christ, it's gone. It's over. It's washed away. We still remember it, but he doesn't. Amen? Hallelujah. So, this isn't just believing. It's not just believing. Remember, the devil believes and they tremble. Demons believe and they tremble. We can believe. I believe there's a God. I hear it all the time. Well, I'm glad you believe there's a God. That's step number one. You got to believe first. But there's a process on top of just believing. Just believing won't send you to heaven. No, you have to follow, it says. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Not just believing. We have to follow him. Follow means to trust him. Follow means to make sure our lives align with his word. That's part of following him. John 9:5 says this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And in John 1:4 and John 1 verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And of course, that's referring to Jesus, and this is what John is saying. I liked how John takes a scripture about himself and puts it, there was a man who came in here, it was him. Why didn't he say, I came into this world, and he kind of third person, it's kind of weird actually. But there's a lot to unpack here, what he says. But to put it all together in layman's term, John is saying that Jesus is the source of life, period. He's the source of life. Life reveals God as light, and darkness cannot defeat the light, ever, period. Now, how many of you have ever built a new house? Raise your hand if you've ever built a new house. Okay, all right, a few of you. Now, when it comes to the electricity of that house, how many of you guys put light switches in each bedroom or everywhere in the house so you could turn on the light when you wanted light? Nobody. Okay, so nobody have light switches in your house. Okay, all right, you guys are all from Amish country. Okay, I see up there. All right, yeah, okay. All right, so a lot of you put all your light switches in. How many of you put your dark switches in? That way, when you didn't want light, you had your dark switches so you could turn on the dark. Why didn't you do that? Because dark has no power. You didn't need a dark switch. You just turn the light off, and dark is there. Remember, dark is just the absence of light. It has no power. So you turn the light switch on, darkness goes. Period. That's exactly what it does. There's no power in darkness. It's just the absence of light. When you turn on the light, darkness doesn't resist. It just disappears. When I first was overseas, and when I went over in 2014, I had in my mind exactly what was going to happen. I thought when I got over there, I was going to have to fight the darkness. You know what I mean, Ben? I mean, I thought for sure I was going to have to go over there. I was going to have to defend the faith. I was going to have to fight devils. You know, I was going to have to scream and shout, Jesus! You know, I mean, I expected a war. But I come to realize that I didn't have to do any of that. I didn't have to defend the faith. I didn't have to defend Jesus. All I had to do was be the light. And it didn't take much light. We preached Jesus' love. We preached his compassion. We preached what he did, how he had everything, came to earth and gave it all up so we could have everything. And that he came to the earth not as a king, but as a servant. Not to be served, but to serve us. Man, when we started preaching that, it didn't take much for darkness to disappear. You know, compassion, love, Jesus' light. It brought people to repentance. It brought people to the altars by the tens of thousands. I didn't have to defend Jesus, and I didn't have to fight against the darkness. It left. Woo. Hallelujah. It left. Praise God. And what I think is also ferociously important, that was the word that came to my mind when I was writing this, is what John says about himself in John 1, 6 through 8. It says, he said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He is saying that the focus must remain on Jesus and not him, is what John is saying right there. Every false prophet that you see will point back to themselves. Every false prophet. And for some reason, I don't know why, it's overseas more than it is here in America. There's some here in America. But man, they always got their faces plastered on every van, on every taxi, every big poster board or whatever. I'm like, man, who is that guy? False prophet. Oh, really? How do you know? Because everything comes back to him. Everything he does is because of him. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. We see this a lot. Every evangelist, every spiritual leader will always point away from themselves and to Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. We always point away from ourselves. We always point to Jesus. But if you see them pointing to themselves, look out, run, go the other way because they're false prophets. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, turn to Matthew, the fifth chapter, if you're turning. Matthew, the fifth chapter, and we're going to go to verse 14. Because now we're talking about us. Matthew 5, verses 14. It says here, you are the light of the world. Say, I am the light of the world. Come on, because you are. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men and women and children and dogs and cats, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not glorify us, glorify our Father in heaven. When they see our good works, we're pointing them back to him. It's because of him, not us. First, Jesus says that we are the light of the world. Now listen, we're not the light. Okay, we're not the light. Jesus in us is the light. Okay, we're not the light. We reflect Jesus by how we live, by what we do, what we say, our attitudes, all of the above, okay? And if a city is set on a hill, then when do you really see the city? When it's lit. So I have Sin City up here, Las Vegas, in the daytime. Okay, you can see the city, all right? You can see it during the day, but you really see it lit up at night. You really see it lit up at night. A light on a hill, when you see it the best, is at night. You see that city at night better than you do during the day. And Jesus said, that is what our light is like. The light attracts. You know, when we see a light, we're drawn to it. Bottom line, period. What type of people need Jesus? Those that are in the dark, right? Absolutely. Those that are living in darkness and deep darkness. This church, that means you and me, because we are the church, was prophesied over years and years ago that this place would be a lighthouse. A lighthouse. And we are a lighthouse. You know, we don't see the lighthouse really during the day too much. You know, when we're on vacation and stuff, we go to Aruba. We like Aruba. It's cheap and it's safe and we can drink the water right from the tap. Can't do that much anywhere else. The people are nice. They love us there. There's a big lighthouse on the north side of the island. Well, during the day, you don't even notice it. But at night, you do notice it. Well, you would, but because it doesn't light anymore, but you would. And it saves people. That light saves people from shipwrecks. It guides people away from the land so they don't run aground and things of that nature. You recognize the lighthouse at night. Now, I like this scripture because it's talking about a city. A city is stationary, is it not? It isn't going anywhere, is it? It doesn't. It's going nowhere. People are drawn to that light. People are drawn to this house of God, to this lighthouse. They're drawn here. Now, there's lots of other scriptures that we need to go into the world and preach the gospel, and we do. But then there's this scripture verse, a city set on a hill. This church is like a city set on a hill. People come to us. We don't proselytize anything. You want to come? You come. We don't make people come. They're drawn to this house. They're drawn to the light. Well, what draws them to the light? Lots of things draw them to the light. When you're hungry and you need groceries, where do you go? Okay, the grocery store, well, okay, man, this is the 21st century. Yes, the grocery store can come to us now. I get it. You know, everything's delivered to your house now. I understand that. But for most of us still, we go to the grocery store and get the supplies we need. Right? When we are hungry and our wife says, I'm not cooking tonight, where do we go to get food? To the restaurant. We go to the place and get our food. These are stationary places that sustain us. This church is like that as well. Yes, we go into the world and preach the gospel, but also people come here as well to the stationary place and they get what they need as well. It works both places. This is a place where we can know God, find freedom. People can discover their purpose and, yes, make a difference. They come here for that. This is a place where people can belong. They can belong to this family of faith. That's what we are all about. Praise God. And people are drawn here because they come for healing. They come because they're hurt. They come because they're lonely. They come because they're sick. They're drawn here. God draws them here as well, draws them to this light. And this church is like a city on that hill. We don't beg. We don't force people. We invite, and they show up on their own free will, period. And people are drawn here also because of the integrity, because of its love, its peace, and its authenticity. We preach the uncompromising word of God. We do it in love. But sometimes, yes, we may have to throw out a little chastising. God chastens those who he loves, right? If we're out of line, gotta get put back in line. We get put in line too. It's what it's all about. We preach the uncompromising word of God, and we are faithful to lift up Jesus and not ourselves. Not ourselves. We bear witness to Jesus. We do not bear witness to us. And there's so many churches out there that lift up itself. They lift up their brand. They lift up their politics. They lift up their personality. And I spoke on this a long time ago. But those churches might attract a crowd, but will those people be drawn to Jesus? That's the key. Pointing them to him and not to us. That's the key. Now, I was driving down the highway a few months ago. And I brought this up to Nicole here a few months ago as well. And I was coming from the north and I was coming south. And I looked at the church where I could see the church. And I hear the Lord speak to me and he said, light the cross. That's what I said. I was like, okay, light the cross. I had never given it one thought. Light the cross. Oh, yeah, that's a 50-foot cross out there, you know, that's on our building. It's crazy. That's a big cross. And when I heard him say, light the cross, he said, let's see, I wrote this down right because I couldn't remember. He said, then people will be drawn to that cross at night and they will be saved. I was like, okay. I was like, all right. And again, it brought me back to this city on a hill. You know, the people that are in the dark, they see the light and they're drawn to it. And so when I was researching the color blue, I found out that it represents calmness, peace, trust, and stability. That's what this place is. It really is. And then I went a little deeper because me, you know, ADHD, I went, you know, 100 miles the other direction and was like, whoa. I end up finding out that in the Middle East, blue represents protection and warding off evil. That's what they believe. And then in East Asia and China, blue represents immortality and renewal. I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. They believe this stuff about the color blue. And just think, when you receive Jesus as your personal savior, we are covered by the blood. So therefore, we're protected. And then we receive immortality. Because when you were born, you're never going to die again. Yeah, don't believe Kirk Cameron, his new view of annihilation. Don't do it, folks. Again, it's ridiculous stuff. There's no such thing as annihilation. Read the Bible. Read your word. He believes that, you know, when you die and you don't know Jesus, that eventually God is just going to get rid of us. He's going to annihilate us because God is love and he's compassion. Oh, he is love and compassion, but that's not what the Bible says. No, just like universalism, eventually everyone will receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, including Satan himself. That's ridiculous stuff. Watch what you're listening to. Watch what you're reading. Kirk Cameron's a good guy. I love what he does with kids. I love what he does with books and things. But he's just dipping down a wrong path. And he did say, prove me wrong, and I'll prove me wrong. So I hope there are people out there that are showing him scripture and proving him that, sorry, annihilation is not part of God's plan. It's not part of it. All right, sorry, that was a little down the other path right there. So. That cross lit up at night will attract thousands of eyes going down I-75, coming down I-75 as I was beginning to think about that. And I believe people will be saved because of it. You know, people build $150,000 crosses like going to Tennessee or over there on I-70. You see those big crosses? They cost $150,000, $200,000. And people are putting a cross there just sitting it there because it attracts and it it provides hope for people. And people get saved. And God's going to do that. When we light that up, he's going to do what he said. And people are going to be drawn to this place. And I believe people that are hopelessness driving down that highway, that are crying and they want to end their life, they will see that cross and hope will come to them. Light will come through them and they'll receive Jesus. And we'll never know it until we get to heaven. We'll never know it. So if you want to help me fund that thing, you see me after church and we'll get that thing started. And again, you know what? Don't get mad at me when you get to heaven. You got lots of people lined up at your house saying, man, because of you, I received Jesus as my personal Savior because I was drawn to that light, drawn to that cross. Hallelujah. All right. Now back to where we were. Where were we here? All right. Jesus says we're the light of the world in Matthew 5:14. All right. Make no mistake. We do not have any light of our own. We do not have any light of our own. Our ability to shine comes from Jesus. We are kind of like the moon. What does the moon do? It reflects the sun. We reflect the S-O-N. Oh, it's much greater than the S-U-N. Yes, it is. So because we have encountered Jesus, the light shines in us. Kind of like our prophecy that was done today. I'm always amazed at God. It's like always bringing it out, what we're teaching on. He comes out first and is like, confirms the word. It's beautiful. So the light shines in us because we've encountered Jesus. Before our light can be seen, we have to receive the light. That's where it all starts, at salvation. The change starts in the heart, in our hearts. The light starts to shine. When the light is turned on, it reveals junk, does it not? When we turn the light on in that bedroom that we haven't looked at, oh man, there's that junk in that corner. We got to get that junk out of there. That's why we turn the light back off and we shut the door. I don't want to deal with that junk. Yeah. Well, the light turns on spiritually and God wants us to deal with it. He wants us to deal with the dark places. He don't want them hid any longer. It doesn't want to embarrass us. He wants us to deal with them because he wants to better us. So he deals with us first. If you still have attitudes, you're nasty, easily offended, you have hidden fears, you won't deal with certain wounds in your life. You won't ask for forgiveness for certain things. You want to blame others and not look at yourself. These are all dark places that you need to turn over to God because pride is still very much at work within you. It doesn't mean we don't have bad days. We're human. But these are things that are existent that you won't deal with. You just turn the light back off and you shut the door because it's hard. Well, yeah, it's hard. But God is doing it because he wants to help us and he wants us to grow. I want you to grow. I want you to stay where you are. Give in to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That means God is close and he wants to help you. Hallelujah. Also, Jesus, he wants to take out that garbage and you need to let him take the garbage out. Let him do it. Heal your brokenness. Let him free you. Only he can do it. When the light comes on, let that conviction work on your behalf. And let him deal with the things in your life. It's only going to better you. If you haven't dealt with them for 5 years, look, you're 5 years behind and where you could have been. It's true. It's true. He can't do anything else until you deal with where you're stuck at. He won't move you to another level until you deal with this. He's not going to do it because he doesn't want to see you fail. And he knows that's exactly what you will do is fail. So he won't move you to step two until you deal with step one. Yeah, letting the Lord deal with all that stuff is going to be uncomfortable at first, kind of like our eyes adjusting when a light is turned on and we've been in the dark for a long time, or we step out from this church into the sunlight. Our eyes have to adjust. It's going to be uncomfortable, but eventually it becomes clear. You should begin to have new desires. We take on a new lifestyle. We pray, we worship, we read scripture, we go to church, we serve. That's how the oil in our lamps stay full. So he shines in us first. And when we allow Jesus to deal with all that stuff on the inside of us, our lights become clear on the outside. On the outside. Do you want to be a dim light to the world or a bright light to the world? I want to be a bright light to the world. Not dealing with the dark places will cloud the reflection. All right. Next, after Jesus shines in us, cleans us, And now we have a great reflection. Now what happens? Now he shines through us. He shines through us. Ask yourself when you wake up every day, Jesus, how do you want me to love someone, or how do you want to love someone through me today? Show me, Lord. Put me into that person's path in Jesus' name. I do that. I wouldn't share the love of Jesus to my boss years ago because I didn't want her to be turned off. Basically, what I did, I showed the love instead of shared the love. I just showed. I let it shine through me. And yes, because of that, she was won to the Lord. It was a beautiful thing. It took months, of course, because there was so much darkness in her. And I never messed with her or anything like that. You know, I never made fun of her or anything, but I just continued to let my light shine through. And eventually, she gave her life to the Lord. It was beautiful. When you have compassion for people, Jesus' light is shining through you. It makes God's love visible. It really does. Going up to those who feel left out, helping those that are struggling, standing up for the hurting. Jesus did all these things. And they eventually started to follow him because they saw that he was the light. That is how Jesus shines through us. Because of time, we got to keep moving. Then the next thing he does is Jesus' light shines around us, around you and I. Have you ever entered a room and said, I'm here, the party can begin? No. You haven't? No. Well, I have. Now, and the thing, shocker, right? Shocker. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've matured a lot over the years, ladies and gentlemen. When it comes to Jesus, though, we don't want us to be the center of attention. We want him to be the center of attention. Okay, all right, yeah. I fixed that for you real fast. Light changes the space that we enter. Does it not? Absolutely it does. You guys remember the Santa Claus 2 movie? I think it was 2014, where Tim Allen was Scott Calvin. They had to have a party. I think it was the staff party. And if you remember, it was very boring. As a matter of fact, Scott Calvin looks at the girl there beside him and says, oh my gosh, that guy moved. Wow, we're having a party right now. Well, something happened, and just watch this real quick.
Oh, it's heavy like a bag of gifts. Look at this. What's in here?
This is a big...
Oh, it's very heavy, very heavy. John Pierce. Doesn't your mom call you JJ? Merry Christmas, JJ.
No way.
This is Toss-a-Cross. I used to love this when I was a kid. But I never told anybody. Who did this?
Grace Kim.
Here I am.
Yes, there you are. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Tom Astle.
Me? Sorry, Gordon.
Haven't changed a bit, have you? Lizzie Garcia.
Here.
There you are. Merry Christmas.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots! Mint condition. Oh, this is incredible! Oh.
Hobby Heaven.
Come on up and get the rest of your presents.
Marie.
Here.
There she is. Pete.
Here.
Jerry.
Here.
Corey.
Here.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Now think about it. If a few presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, can change the atmosphere of a room, how much greater does your presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, change and affect the room when Jesus is shining through you and around you? Come on. Hallelujah. You've all been there. I mean, again, we go into a room, and man, when the presence of the Lord shows up, things happen. Hallelujah. People get set free, delivered, healed. Come on, man. Love starts shining through. Smiles start coming off faces. Joy enters in the house. That's because of who's inside of us. We reflect him. Hallelujah. And that's what we must allow. Jesus' light shines around us. Everywhere you go, Jesus' light is shining. And that's why you're going to have devils who get unhappy as well. Because they're seeing it also. They're the ones giving you the middle finger, telling you you're number one. And you're like, I know I'm number one already. Because Jesus lives in the inside of me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Ain't that right, Brother Rick? Come on. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. We want Jesus to be the center, hallelujah, of attention. Praise the Lord. Just like light affects a room, Jesus' presence through us affects people. And you don't necessarily have to be the loudest voice in the room to change it. Okay, I'm helping some of you all out there. No. Sometimes the calmest presence carries the most light as well. It really does. So you could say it this way, and I put it up here on the board so you could write it down, John. He's there. You go. Yeah, here you go. Everywhere I go, Jesus goes. Everywhere Jesus goes, the light follows. And where the light enters, the atmosphere changes. I believe that. I believe when I walk into a room, guess what? The devils are trembling. Listen, you can ask Eric. When we go up on that stage and we start preaching Jesus and sharing the light into the darkness and the deep darkness that's out in that crowd, yeah, they start to act crazy. Some of them will start to scream. Don't they, Eric? Scream. Aah! And I'm just like, poor devil. I don't know why he's still here. But now get him out. If he's that dumb enough to stay around the presence of the Lord, let's cast him out. They should be smart enough to leave before we get there because they know what's going to happen when we show up because of who's on the inside of us. Praise the Lord. And that's how you need to act as well. Praise God. You have power or don't you? Yes. You have power? Yes. Yes, you do. We all have power. Amen and amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we are transformed into his image, what is in him becomes visible through us. Thank God for that. Thank God he has our backs. Praise God, because we are nothing without him. And the greatest example that I could find quickly was Paul and Silas. The atmosphere of the prison was probably horrible. You can only imagine what the atmosphere of that prison was like. Darkness and deep darkness. But they began to worship in that darkness because they knew who was on the inside of them. And because they began to worship, the environment or the atmosphere began to shift in that prison cell. We know the story. Hallelujah. Their circumstances changed. All the shackles fell off. Praise the Lord. Light entered in a very dark place, and the atmosphere could not remain the same. When Jesus shows up, it has to change. Amen. It has to. And as a result, the jailer got saved. And then he took them home, and all his family got saved. Wow. That's powerful. That's powerful. So in wrapping this up today, in order to stay out of darkness and not fall into deep darkness, we don't reject God. Don't reject him. Don't refuse God's word. Don't reject God's standards. And don't reject God's ways like Israel did. And remember that you are the light of the world. Now, I understand that your relationship is personal, okay? I understand that. I get it. But your relationship should never be private. Show me anywhere that there's light, there is privacy. No. Nicole mentioned this last week. I'll go down to that. No, there was a classmate that she went to high school with, and I think she said this testimony. That all through high school, this kid was a Christian and she never knew it. Never knew it. He saw her get beat up, all this and that, all through high school. At the end of the school year, he comes up and says, hey, I just want you to know that I'm a Christian and sorry that I didn't defend you. I saw what happened to you and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, a closet Christian. Are there such? There shouldn't be. Should never be a closet Christian. Yes, your relationship with Jesus is personal, but it should never be private. He never, ever once told us to keep it to ourselves. Now, share the light. That's why we have those cards on your chairs. Take them today. This is your last chance. Somebody who's in darkness and deep darkness, maybe they'll show up Wednesday at the 4 o'clock service or the 6 o'clock service, Christmas Eve service. Maybe they'll see the light and they'll receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. All they can say is no. Big deal. You get said no to every day if you're married. No big deal to me. Okay, I'll try again tomorrow. It's all right. I love it. It's like the dude who buried his talent. There's nothing private about a bright light. We are called to be visible to the world. We're called to be that light shining on that hill. That's what we're called. His light shines in us. His light shines through us. And his light shines around us. The light that is in you doesn't need any announcements. Not everyone is outspoken and not everyone needs publicity. But your lives will be evidence that Jesus is present. People will notice you because we're different. Because we're peculiar. Amen? Stand up if you can, if you will. You might be out there today. And as what Pastor Nicole said last week, maybe you're half in the light. She went, I don't know how they did that. That was kind of cool. It's like, he's half in the light, he's half out of the light. Half in the light, half out of the light. A lot of us live our lives like that. And again, Jesus wants the light turned on at all times. And until you can go to that second level, if you will, stage with him, all them dark spaces, they have to be lit up and have to be dealt with. It takes time, yeah. There's a process. But it's okay. It's okay. He'll work with us through it. So if that's you today, then I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. There's some things in your life that you just can't get rid of. There's some dark places that's just, man, every time I turn around, there's that dark spot, and I need it to go in Jesus' name. If that's you, then I want you to come down, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to thank God that he is going to take care of that today. Today. And if you are also here and you don't know Jesus, you're living in the dark, this day is for you as well. So if you don't know Jesus, come on down and we're going to pray as well. When he reveals something in you, he heals it. He takes care of it. And that's what he's going to do today. Is there anybody else? Anybody else out there you're not saved? Ask your neighbor if they're saved or not. Yo, you saved, you know Jesus. You got the light on the inside of you. If they look dim, bring them on down. We'll lay hands on them. If they look dim, hallelujah. Jesus wants you freed today. He wants you to accept his free gift today as well. All right, don't be shy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know there's more of you out there that's got dark spaces in you. I know what God said. Whoops. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. That's it. Come on. We're all family here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? Oh, the Lord's convicting. That's what he does. He loves us so much, he convicts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. If your temple's all lit up, then I want you to stretch your hands out and pray with me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Is this your first time for salvation or not? It is. All right. What's your name?
Jay.
Jay? Pastor Randy, good to meet you, sir. Awesome. Thanks for being bold. Appreciate that. I just want you to repeat this after me, okay? All right. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you right now as a sinner on the way to hell. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all wrongdoing right now in Jesus' name. Now, thank you, Jesus. I am saved. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. And Lord, help me right now. Live the life that you call me to live.
Help me
and guide me.
And
bring people by my path,
that will help me.
And as you died for me,
I will live for you today.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
One time. Amen. All right. Okay, everybody. Stretch out your hands this way. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for my brothers, God, coming down right now. Oh, Holy Ghost. God, I thank you. Oh, what you reveal, you heal, Lord Jesus. And God, by faith, they're coming down here today in the name of Jesus. And God, they have places in their life, Lord God, that need cleansed. Lord God, places, Lord God, that as they turn the light on, darkness is still in those corners, Lord Jesus. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you cleanse them, Father, right now. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Father. Glory, 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 in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Light come in every corner right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Any type of demonic power, go, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, you have no hold on them. Go, I break your hold on these men, Father, in Jesus' name. In their minds, Father, right now, be free in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Holy Ghost. All addictions, in Jesus' name, I curse them right now and command them to go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Them yokes be destroyed. Hallelujah, not just broken, but destroyed in Jesus' name. I thank you for it today, God. I thank you for it today. I give you praise for it, that it's done in your name. Hallelujah. And I give you praise for it. And I thank you for it today. Thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus some praise. Give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, he always, and you know this, makes a way of escape. You know it. Take that. When it comes, when the devil comes, there's a way of escape as well. Take the way of escape. Take it, because it's there for you. Don't give back in. Listen, every time you say no to the devil, it gets easier and easier and easier. It does. It does. It does. Just say no. Call somebody. You know, make some loud noise. I don't know what you got to do. Embarrass sin, and it will go. All right? That's what we're here for, to help you as well. If you need some extra counseling, please talk to us. That's what we're here for, okay? We love you guys. We care for you. God bless you. God bless you, my man. God bless you. Congratulations. You're part of the family, bro. I love it. Praise the Lord. God bless you, buddy. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, be the light, guys. Be the light. Let him shine in you, through you, and around you. Everywhere you go, let it happen. In school, man, be that light, bro. There's nobody else that could do it. You, it's you. Be the light. Don't give in to temptations. Don't give in to all the peer pressure. Be the light. Hallelujah. A And Father, I come before you and I thank you for this congregation, your people. God, I thank you for blessings, Father. Blessings in their lives and their families' lives. God, I thank you that this week, God, as they by faith take these little Christmas Eve cards and put them on counters and put them in bathrooms and hand them to people, that Lord God, you will draw people to this house, this city on a hill, Lord God, for this Christmas Eve service. People will be saved. People's lives will be changed. People will be set free. People will receive hope and mercy that haven't, that live in this darkness and deep darkness in the world. God, I thank you for exposing and healing today in these men's lives, God. They will not be the same in Jesus' name. And as we go this week, I thank you for protection over everyone. God, I thank you again. Families, God, reuniting that haven't reunited. That God, things that have caused families to dissipate or fights or whatever it may be, God, right now they be reunited this season in Jesus' name. Relationships restored. The devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. I thank you, Father, for pride dropped and God, phone calls made and relationships restored in Jesus' name. I thank you for blessing them, God. We give you praise for all that you're doing and all that has been done in Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. We'll see you Wednesday night, either 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock is our service times. We'll see you then.